Let's begin. We're up to page 540. 540 Pasuk Dalet. We learned already the Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Radak. Now we're going to learn the Malbim. I'll read the Pasuk again one more time. The Pasuk on page 540 says, Goy bayam vayyabish shehu Hashem. He shouts at the Yam. And Hashem, we had two translations. Either Hashem directly brings about its dryness. He makes it dry. Or
it's good to learn something from the Parasha.
Yeah, this week's parashas, v'nei Yisrael who was sochayim by Yabosha, vayecheravu hamayim. So we have over here, we learned last week two perushim. Either it means that Hashem directly dried up the water through his shout, or the second interpretation was that Hashem caused the waters to become dry. And then the pasuk says, "V'chol hanahoros hecheriv," Hashem likewise dried up the rivers. Umlal Boshan v'Karmel, the Boshan and the Carmel. These are metaphors for parts of Eretz Yisrael, which are places which have an abundance of fruit, orchards. They have been destroyed. Uferach Levanon umlal, the flower of Levanon, Lebanon. Which we had different interpretations as to what this means. The Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Livanoin, the Ferach. We learned this interesting chazal that the Shlomo HaMelech, he planted trees that produced gold fruit. They were cut down. Let's see the Radak. The Radak, on page 541. The Radak says, Goyer mitzayer sheyaseh os churban bein bayom bein bayabosha. This pasuk is describing that Hashem will create a churban in the yam and the yabasha. Shugoyer bayam vayabes sheyu v'yasanoharois hecheriv hagam shabeis hashetef uvikias ha'ananim. Even though that when at the time of rain shetef, when there's an abundance of rain uvikias ha'ananim, and when the clouds burst forth yimlu hanoharois mayim v'yistapchu l'sochayam. Okay, the reality is, the way the world works is that when it rains, the rivers are flooded, they overflow, and the rivers, they deposit their water in the oceans. So the question he's asking is that Pasuk Dalet doesn't follow from Pasuk Gimel. Because in Pasuk Gimel it says that Hashem is going to bring clouds, the Anon Avak Raglav. There's going to be a sufa usa'ara darkoi v'anon avak raglov. They're going to be clouds. What do clouds do? Clouds produce precipitation. Water floods. Where does the water go? It goes into the rivers. And where do the rivers deposit their waters? Into the ocean. So Pasuk Dalet says, but guess what? It's going to be abnormal. It's going to be lamala miderech hateva. Even though there's going to be flooding from the sky, the rivers are going to be empty. The ocean is going to be empty. Okay, where would you get a shot like that if not for the Malbim? The Malbim over here, we look at all the Mefarshim. No one makes that connection. Incredible idea. Connecting Pasuk Gimel with Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Gimel concludes with flooding. At least there is a silver lining to a flood. The silver lining is the rivers at least are full. The reservoirs are full. The oceans are full. It's not good when the oceans have too much salt water. When the rivers deposit into the oceans fresh water, it's healthy. Okay, too much salt content in the ocean, no, it's good. The person's diet, you have to have some sodium. But too much is not good for the heart, not good for blood pressure.
Ask the people in Venice, because the ocean water seeped, the reason they had to rebuild a lot of their buildings Venice.
The salt.
Because the salt water that wasn't supposed to be in the river that covers Venice, the salt started to seep into the
seep in. Went backwards.
The buildings are crumbling.
It went backwards. So you, it's not.
Only 10 years after, wow, the buildings are crumbling even worse again. After all, they spent all that money.
It's not healthy for the ocean to have too much salt. And yet, look what, over here, there's a silver lining when there's a flood, when it rains too much. And yet, look what it says over here. It says, Suyasidavi Puchosha Gam Shezedem Hayam Avar Ovar Vishotaf Aretz. Even though the Zerem, the flow of the Yam, floods the earth, nevertheless, Hanoharos yech revu velo yerdu me mehem el hayam viva shayam. Unbelievable. Something abnormal is going to happen. The waters of the river are not going to go into the yam. V'chen yasechum bayabasha ki oz umlal bashan v'charmel. It will be destroyed. The bashan, the dry land, bashan v'charmel, these two places which have an abundance of fruit. On the next page, return to on page 543. Sha'al yidei hasahar v'zerem borod. And the Sahar Ketef, okay, these he writes over here through the storm, and the Zerem, a flow of Borod Sahar Ketef. Now, where did he get that from? Where did he get Borod? So he writes, this the Malbim over here is saying something very, very interesting. And that's all included in the word of Se'orah. The word Se'orah is not to be taken just on its own. The word Se'orah is a code word which connects us with what it says in Sefer Yeshaya. And in Sefer Yeshaya, the word Sa'ar is used in connection with Borod, with hail. So I have a right to assume here that Nachum, he says it's going to be a Sufa, a storm. Uvis Ara, a Sa'ara is not just a strong wind, it's a strong wind which includes what it says in Yeshaya, Zerem Borod Sa'ar Ketef, a flow of hail with a wind of destruction. Yikarsu kol stei tivua, it will destroy all the fields of grain. Uferach ilanois and the blossoms of the trees. So he's learning here the word Bosh and Carmel. Bosh and Carmel refers, we normally associate these two places with orchards, with fruit. But that will be redundant in the opinion of the Malbim because it says the next words, Uferach livonon. And the ferach are the fruits. So what then is boshan v'charmel? It has to mean the grain. The grain, the lands of grain will be destroyed. And the fruits also will come to an end. And then he goes and just connects to that pasuk that Hashem's voice is upon the water, will destroy those cedars. Okay, that concludes the Malbim. Now let's take a look, peek at the Likutei Shas. Likutei Shas. On page 541 at the bottom, at the very, very bottom, Pasuk Dalid, Goya Bayam Vaya Besheyu, Amar Ishlakish, Beshosha Bora HaKodosh Baruch Hu Esayam Hoya Marchiv, Ahoylech, it was widening at Shegohar Bo HaKodosh Baruch Hu V'yav Shushnemar, Goya Bayam Vaya Besheyu, V'chol Anor Secherif. Now this is a fascinating Chazal. It's a Gemara in Chagiga. It's not an esoteric medrash no one ever heard of. It's a Gemara. Gemaras are always very basic. And we know, Rashi in the Chumash, in the beginning, tells us this principle only in regard to the heavens. Meaning that it says, Rashi has to question, it's contradictions. Rashi in Chumash, in the beginning, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Es Haaretz. Hashem created the heavens. And then, on Yom Revi'i, it says, Hashem put into position the Shnei Hamo'eres HaGedolim. Es hamor hagadol lememsheles bayom, yes hamor hakoton lememsheles bahaloyla v'eis hakoychavim. And Rashi there says, but what do you mean? Didn't Hashem already create the heaven on day one? And Rashi answers that on day one they were soft. They were soft. On day four, when Hashem shouted at them, he gave a shout that there should be the me'orois birakia hashamoyim, then they became firm. They stopped. They stopped in their tracks. And by the way, that's where the expression Yiras Shamayim comes from. Why do we say fear of heaven? Why don't we say fear Yiras Hashem, Yiras Elokim? Where does this expression Yiras Shamayim come from? There are many answers, but one of the popular answers is that Rashi, is that on day one, Hashem created the heavens. The heavens were, you know, shuckling, a little here, a little there. They were doing whatever they want. They were living a life of hefkeres. They did whatever was good for them. They just moved around. On day four, Hashem shouted at them, Yihi Rokia, that's day two, Yihi Me'oirois B'Rokia HaShamayim, and likewise, Yihi Rokia B'Sechamayim, on the different points in time of creation, Rashi says Hashem gave a shout. And when they shouted, the heavens were afraid, got scared, and they froze. They froze in their tracks. That is what Yira is all about. When a person is afraid, you don't move. You don't move, you're still. You don't move. So the first object in this world to experience fear, what were the heavens? The heavens were the first objects to experience fear was the heaven. And therefore, when we today attempt to feel, have a sense of Yira, we trace our roots back to the Briyas HaOlam, specifically focusing on the Shamayim. Okay, we focus on the heavens, just like Hashem shouted at them and they became firm. That was an expression of fear. That's why we say Yiras Shamayim. Now this Chazal is very popular, I just taught you, what I just mentioned, in regard to the heavens. But you don't hear it in Chazal, at least in the popular Mamori Chazal that we learned about when we read Rashi, in regard to the earth. That the earth also was shaking here and there and doing whatever it wanted. Rashi over here, Likutei Shas over here, quotes this Gemara in Masechta Chagiga, which says exactly the same thing happened when it comes to the Yam. Okay, I told you the drawing of the Yam. B'sha Shabara Hakadosh Baruch Hu Es Hayom. Hayom Marche V'Holich Yam was getting larger and larger. Ad Shegar Bo Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Yavsha Hashem gave a shout, and that shout put an end to its expansion. Now, this also touches upon the basic idea of the name Shakai. Why is Hashem's name called Shin Dalid Yud? Shin Dalid Yud is a very popular name. It appears on the Tefillin, on the Shin Tefillin Shal Rosh, the Dalid and the Kesher and the Yud and the Shal Yad, and on the outside of the Mezuzah, and Parashas Va'era, Va'era, El Avraham, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, V'shmi Hashem Loi Noidati Lohem. What Shakai? There are many interpretations. The most popular one is Shakai is Nutrikin. It's an acronym for Sheomar Le'olamoy Dai. Shin stands for Sheomar, Hashem said. To who did Hashem say it? To his world. And the next two letters are Dai. Enough. Stop.
What? Morris says that's the water. He told him to stop.
Oh, so we're saying everything, the whole Bria. So the whole Bria Hashem said to stop. Rashi over here, the Chazal over here connect that Chazal specifically to the waters. That Hashem, the waters were expanding more and more, and Hashem gave a shout, Dai, enough, stop. Stop right here, do not expand more. And what's the biblical source that is true? Right here, a pasuk in Nachum. Goyer Bayom, Hashem gave a shout at the Yam, Vayabeshehu, according to the interpretation of Chazal, it does not mean that Hashem caused the entire Yam to dry up. It means the part of the Yam that would have been wet, the part that would have been Yam, by Hashem prematurely nipping it in the bud, stopping it, and saying, do not go further, that brought about the reality that what would have been Yam, today is Yabosha.
Right. So that's what the Gemara says, he created the beachheads.
The beachheads. So the Gemara says that naturally this world, we look at this world naturally, it's not the way it seems. Naturally, if we would study science very deeply, we would discover that naturally the Yam should have expanded more. Maybe it means the whole world would have been water. And there was something unusual which holds it back. And what's holding it back was the shout of Hashem, which is all alluded to in Hashem's name of Shakai, Sheomar Le'olamoy Dai. This world is like, you ever go to a web, they don't see this anymore, but in the olden days when the internet first began to develop, it wasn't so uncommon to go to a website and it would say, under construction. Okay, to go drive out into out somewhere in the Hicks. You don't get to see that too often, where it says under construction. But this world is an incomplete world. It's not just the Yam. It's the entire world. Hashem created this world. He put everything into motion. The construction crews were working day and night. And then all of a sudden, Hashem says, Die! You're all fired. Pick up your shovels and your axes and your tools, get in your cars, your tractor trailers, get the cranes out of here. Leave the world half finished. Sha'omar le'olamai, die. Who's going to finish? Who's going to finish off the world? The world is nishtahi nishtaher. Man. Adam, he will be my partner. He will be the one that will continue to participate in creating the world. Now, what does that mean on a deeper level? Chazal explained this to mean that the world, today we go out into the world, anywhere, there is hester panim. It is not obvious that there is a God. It is not obvious there is a creator, there's someone in charge. You know, it's not obvious. You have to work hard to be able to uncover the truth that this is not a world of hefker, that yesh baal labira, that there is a master to the home, there's someone in charge. It's not obvious. Built into nature, it was meant to be that it should be obvious. When Hashem created the world, part of creation was it would be super obvious. It would be thoroughly impossible to deny scientifically, in reality, the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. By Hashem saying die, stopping the unfolding of creation in mid-process, he was saying, I don't want the world to know openly that I am the creator. It should not be obvious. I want there to be hester panim. I want there to be the hiddenness for man to come along and discover my existence in this world. All that is nichlal in the word shakai. Sha'omar le'olamoi die. Yudke Vavke Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Boed is the name of Hashem where, oh, it's obvious. It's all over the place. It's Pashat. That's why Hashem said to Moshe, you're a complainer. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they didn't have all these miracles. I didn't do for them anything. Hashem did miracles. We know they did miracles, but not like you. Not like the Oifas and the Moifsim. Not like you. They only knew me as Shakai. Sha'omar Le'olamoi Dai. The world was still in the process of unfolding, and they did not, it was not obvious. You, I'm letting you see how Yudke Vavke, what do you have to complain about? So here, this pasuk is a very critical pasuk in everything that we just said. Everything that we just said for the last 10 minutes is rooted in this pasuk. Goyer bayom vayabesheyu v'chol hanhoros hecherif. Hashem, in the beginning of creation, gave out a shout, and he stopped the project in the middle. He stopped the project. He did not let this construction project proceed to reach its goal because Hashem wants man to enter into the picture and participate in this process. So this is a little bit of a contradiction. You have to somehow reconcile this with that, right? It's interesting because there it's mashmud that the yam already expanded to the end of the world. From the possible chumash, it's mashmud that when Hashem created the world, there was mayim, the entire face of the earth was covered with water. There was no America. There was no Australia, there was no China,
that's
nothing.
Modern science, by the way, they say that they put a date on when the waters separated from the earth.
That appears to be in contradiction at face value with this Maimer Chazal based upon Pasuk Dalet. Because this Maimer Chazal, Amar Eish Lachs, B'shoah She'bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Hayom Hayom Marchi V'Hoylech Ad She'gohar Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yavshu. Hashem said, stop, v'yavshu. So does that mean yikavu to gather in? Shenemar goyer bayom v'yabesheyu. V'chol hanohar v'secherif. Okay, I don't know. You know, one way, you have to. It's interesting. The word v'yabesheyu has a connotation of, like you said, is that it was wet, and then Hashem, come back. Yikavu amayim. But the beginning of the Maimer Chazal doesn't say that. It says, ho'yamarchi v'holich. It was going further. At Shagar Boy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem gave a shout, stop. Gar. But then it says, V'yavashu, it dried. So I loosely translated it, interpreted it to mean what would have been wet, it was never happened, never came to be. That's not really what it says. It says V'yavshu uzra, but that's not does not fit well with the beginning of this chazal. Okay, whatever, that's not our focus.
Well,
focus over here is
Bible, you had to go through the same thing. The water and the earth.
That's already a water on top of earth. Okay,
right.
That's already a later state.
Yeah,
okay.
It was an unbelievable thing that it dried up when it did. Could you imagine today that kind of water that in such a short period of time everything dried up? It wouldn't happen.
150 days. 150 days, yeah. 150 days, the water subsided. Okay, these are all very big mysteries. Maybe there is some type of elu v'elu, divri lekim chayim. There's a process. No one has
so much water down below because all that water had to go down. Had to go somewhere. So the earth is frozen. Today with the concrete, it wouldn't let it. And we would be inundated.
Okay. Welcome, Shalom Aleichem. We have a holy Yid, someone who came from Eretz Yisrael. He has on his shoes the dust of Eretz Yisrael.
Not only on my shoes, on my pants also.
Okay. They say there are Gedolei Yisrael that would not take a shower for a very long time when they came back from Eretz Yisrael.
That was their excuse. Huh?
Why? Because the dust of Eretz Yisrael is resting. How could the Chavivos of Eretz Yisrael have not been there for 30 years, right? Rabbi Yisrael, 30
yes.
years.
Yes.
So I'll tell you a good story. This is Chavod Torah, but to honor you, my father was the rabbi of Young Israel. Okay, the Young Israel, is a makom tzioni, right?
Yes.
This is the Young Israel movement, the Balabatim, they appreciate the religious Zionism. And my father was a very big darshan on religious Zionism. We have now, my sister, she put out his drushes. And if somebody even wrote up that they were so surprised that my father was didn't know such a Zionist. one of the reviews, you know, they wrote up, and the artist who wrote did the cover of the book, he put for the Chodesh Iyar, he put a Magin David. So for all the Chadashim. So someone in my family said, you know, is that really? I says, yes. Don't hide anything. What's the thing? Don't be embarrassed of. My father, he was a Zionist. I mean, he was a religious Zionist. He spoke. They knew many. I heard him speak so many times about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Balabat, my father's shul, they went to Eretz Yisrael like every Monday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, Monday, Thursday, Monday. How do you say in Yiddish? Okay, the expression. Okay, my father never went to Eretz Yisrael. My father did not go to Eretz Yisrael until probably he was in his late 40s, maybe even later, maybe. Can you imagine? So people, when they discovered that my father never went to Eretz Yisrael, my father's a rabbi of Young Israel. In those days, it was vibrant. You know, it was a different type of community. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. So I said about Balabatim, you know, so you should go give my father a treat him to go to Eretz Yisrael. Double the salary. They couldn't believe it. And it was not uncommon for someone to say something not nice. Like how could it be? You're a rabbi of Young Israel and you speak about religious Zionism and you never heard to show how you're talking? Could it possibly be? And they made my father feel bad. They caused my father pain. One time he was talking to my Sharfman, he was very close to my Sharfman, Swan Livrach, Young Israel Flapush. And in the conversation, it came out that my father never went to Eretz Yisrael. So Sharfen, he stopped in his tracks and froze. My father was like waiting to hear the Musar. And he said to my father, you know something? I'm the kind of you. I'm the kind of... Sharfen was, he was the leader of, you know, of the Zionists of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Young Israel Flapish was a Shem Dava. Mm-hmm. It's a Chaval. They're emerging now with Talmud Torah.
Yeah,
it's a new era. It's a new era. But so my father was waiting for the Musar, and he says, no, I'm mekaneh you. I'm mamish mekaneh you. My father, why are you? He says, you know, the first time I went to Eretz Yisrael, you know what it was like? The first time I came off the plane, coming after everything, you know, you learn about, you know about the Kedusha Sa'aretz, and you're in a mature state of knowledge, and you come, the experience is overwhelming. Rabbi Sharfman, I confess, that now I don't get that sense. I go there very often. I guess he had already children, grandchildren there. I go there every Monday and Thursday. No big deal. I come there, it's like, again, like everyone else, the complaints. I don't have that feeling. It's just not possible. But you are going to have that feeling. Because you, it's going to be you, and especially now, you're a religious Zionist. You've given all these drushas, and you know what it's all about. And you're going to come there. It's priceless. It's incomparable to have that sense of coming to Eretz Yisrael. See, that is an Adam Gadol. A person that can look at something like that and make someone feel good. That's a true great person. Zuchusu Yagin Aleinu. The ability to have that sense. It's an incredible thing. Oh, it's a regular person. It's just another opportunity to stab you, right? To give you a little insult without the sensitivity. This is a real greatness. So to you, we say, you have not been there for 30 years, correct?
Correct.
So it must have been an experience.
It certainly was.
Yeah. Okay, so we're mekani you. We're mekani you. Okay, we Baruch Hashem, Chaz Deh, I don't go there often, every couple of years, but you know, it's... But it's obviously, it must have been a very special experience. So, Bruchim Haboim. Welcome back, and we all return with you very soon. Let's go back over here to the Chazal. Okay, so this is a very important Yisoida.
Did your father get there?
Yeah, of course. Of course, he went there many times. Baruch Hashem, many times. First time he went was, unfortunately, the first time he went was when my grandmother passed away. My grandmother was Nifta, was the first time he was there. But right after that, he ended up going pretty often. Maybe like once every 2 years, even once a year, whatever. And my brother got married there. My brother lives there. He's been there for Baruch Hashem for so many years. He lives there, he got married there, he was to visit there, everything, v'chulu. So Baruch Hashem, my parents did go afterwards. Not every day, but they ended up going pretty often. Relatively speaking. Okay, so let's go now back over here to this Chazal. We have to reconcile these different ideas. Who knows one day what they'll discover. Maybe one day someone will have a videotape of my Sabratius. We're still waiting for the videotape of Matan Torah, Kriyas Yam Suf, my Sabratius. At least the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, no. No one, with all the smartphones, no one was able to take a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Find the lost tape.
What?
The CIA has the only copy.
Only copy, you ever see, the president's Hanukkah party? There are literally more smartphones than there are people. Okay? So I guess maybe they come with two smartphones, they hold up. It's like not real. And not real how many smartphones there are. But maybe one day we'll get a picture. Any event, we have over here would appear conflicting ideas, not necessarily, but it's something to pay attention to. Okay, next Chazal, Uperech Levon Umlol, my next last line on the page, on page 541, and the flower of the Lebanon will be destroyed. Umlal means to be destroyed. Where does it come with Umlal? Rashi on the Mitzvah Tzion says, in Kirisa, to cut down. Come Umlal Oni. Losh, I guess, Mila. I guess it comes from the word mila, va'araltem es orlas mol, va'yomol Avraham es Yitzchak b'no. Mol means, va'yomol means to remove the foreskin. It doesn't say the foreskin, it means to remove. What are you supposed to remove? So we have a mesora, the foreskin of the erva. So here, I guess, umla, when you're removing something that in essence is a destruction. Amar b'Yoshaya b'shal shabo bana shlom beis hamikdash not aboy kol mine migodim shel zahav. We learned this in Rashi. He planted different trees, different migodim means delicacies. It's also a very interesting word. Migodim. There's a very popular thing called migodim chadoshim. It's very chosh v'sefer and shas. Rabbi Tom Chacham wrote in many volumes. Migodim chadoshim, migodim shel zahav of gold. Delicacies of gold, for you might see in Perosim, because it would produce Perosehen. On now, Bizmanon, on page 543. Bizmanon. Now, that is something very interesting, that not only did this tree produce gold fruits, which is unusual, it produced them seasonally, in the right season. So that right away, we had this debate last week. Were these fruits miraculous, lemala miderech hateva, or were these fruits al derech hateva? Did Shlomo HaMelech understand the secrets of science and was able to exploit it to the degree where he was able to plant gold trees? Why do I say that? Because we said this last week, is because it says there were Nisim, when Chazal enumerate the miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, this is not included. Why not? Why not this? You'll say that's not part of the Avodah? Well, the other things that it says there in the Mishnah also not necessarily part of the Avodah. You have to study. But it does not include this, so this comes to lead us to speculate that this was not necessarily a miracle. This was just exploitation of the power of science. He knew things that we do not know, and part of the Chochmah was, it didn't just grow grapes, gold grapes, and grow it seasonally, whenever he wanted, on the spur of the moment. It grew the grapes in the grape season. It grew apples in the apple season, whatever the seasons are, figs, whatever. Each fruit has its time and place. And when the wind would blow, it would fall off. Shenemar, yirash kalavanon piryo. It would rustle like the levanon, its fruit. The levanon means the Beis HaMikdash, and it says that the Beis HaMikdash has fruit, and yirash is a word which means wind. Yirash means to rustle in the wind. And we mentioned last, there's a kill switch. Shlomo, that was his ultimate chachma. We're not going to go repeat the whole show again. But it's a very powerful yisoid that Shlomo HaMelech, he didn't just create things. It's not necessarily a kunst to create something. The kunst is to create something which you can control. That's a much bigger kunst. The kill switch, that's the real kunst. So he created these Megadim Chadoshim, but there was a kill switch. When the enemies entered into the Beis HaMikdash, they stopped producing fruit. So that the enemy should not be able to benefit from this. U'chishenichnesu nochrim lahechol yovesh shenemar. Uferach levanon umlal ve'asid hakadosh baruch hu lehachazirun Hashem will restore them. Shenemar paroyach tifrach. Look at this beautiful pasuk in Yeshaya. How he interprets the pasuk, it will once again blossom. Visagel, and it will rejoice. Af gilas, even the gilas. What's the gilas? I don't know what that word means. Veranein. Kivoyd ha-levanon, and the song of the honor of levanon, nitan lo, will be given to it. The gilas, av gilas means also rejoice. So that's what it's. There's gila, rina, ditsa, v'chedva. So there's sogel, and there's gila. So forech tifrach v'sogel, av gilas. You shall, two expressions. You shall rejoice, and you shall also experience this joy called gilas. There are many, many terms of joy. By the way, there's a very, once we're saying this, we're going to point out, it's a very, very beautiful yisoy. People don't appreciate this. And make the bracha. You all go off into a wedding or to a sheh brachas. And you say, Asher bara, sasayn v'simcha, chasan v'chala, gila, rina, ditsa, v'chedva, ava v'yachva v'shalom b'rayus. There are 10 expressions. Two of those expressions stick out like a sore thumb. What are the two expressions that stick out like a sore thumb? Chosan v'chala. Hashem creates Asher bara. Okay, it's kedai to come today just for this yisoid. This the Ramban said. I'm not mistaken. The Ramban says this. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, he told this to me. He, incredible what he knows. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik is a treasure trove. We have over here and this coil over here. It's not mind-boggling. The chidushim and the yisoid that he has in his head. Ashabara, Sasan v'simcha, Hashem created Sasan and Simcha. And Hashem created, oh, the chasan and the kal, look at that. There's the groom, and there's the bride. Right? So nice. Gila, Hashem also, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, Ava, Achva, Shalom, Vereus. I think most of us have a very hard time trying to differentiate between what is exactly the difference in Gila and Rina. And what is Ditsa, Chedva, Ava, V'yachva? Of the orchestra. Who's the orchestra? Who's the orchestra? Everyone, every orchestra takes one of these 10. takes one of these names. So I'm certainly, if you'll go and you look in the commentators, they'll go and they'll try to tell you the fine points, the difference between Gila and Rina, Ditz v'Chedva. You know, ever you get to these type of things, my mind, it turns off. I get a headache. This is not for me. You know, the fine points to explain the Gila and Rina, to me, it's all the same, right? Sasan and Simcha, I don't get it. This is the Simcha when you begin, when you finish. Some say just the opposite. It's very, whatever. Some people love this stuff. Okay, fine. Good. There are 10 different expressions. I have faith that they all each represent a different nuance of joy. And if we bring in a top-of-the-line psychologist, he'll explain to us, give us shiurim for weeks, defining the nuances between the two. But problem is, two of these words in this expression do not fit. Chasan v'chala. Chasan v'chala are nouns. They're not expressions of joy. They're not emotions. They're reality. There's a chasan is over there, and the kala is over there. What does the chasan kala have to do with the other 8 expressions of joy? Isn't that the way everyone understands this expression? You hear this expression only 1,000 times in your life. Is the course? But what are they doing there? They're the course. Because of the chasan the kala, that's why we have the other 8. Or so bar mitzvah, we don't have to rejoice. Siyam HaShas, you don't have to rejoice. An accomplishment, a baby, new baby. Kim says chasan. Okay, that's taka chasan v'kala, you're right. In that,
they are shirashim of simcha.
Okay, they're shirashim of simcha.
They're levels of simcha.
But they're shirashim, they're objects which stimulate simcha, but they're not expressions of joy. Because of this question, the Ramban, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Ramban, Rishon says, you're making a big mistake. There's a chasan and a kal, that's a noun, like you said. Kimsois chasan al kala. And then in the Hebrew language, you got to be a mumch in language, there is a form of joy that is called chasan. There is a type of joy that is called kala. Just like there's a joy called sasain, there's a joy called simcha, there's a joy called ditza, there's a joy called chedva, there's a joy called ahava, there's a joy called rina. There is an emotion in this world that has nothing to do with a groom wearing a top hat and white gloves and a bow tie called chasan. It's the name of an emotion. There is a midah of joy called kala. It must somehow be related, but forget about where it's an expression. You can have the midah of chasan and the midah of kala when you celebrate a new baby. Oh, the new baby was born. Let's celebrate. We're going to celebrate with 10 types of joy. You have a meal and you have 10 courses. So we'll have 10 different expressions of joy. Now we're going to rejoice with the midah of sasan. Now we're going to rejoice with the midah of rina. Now we're going to rejoice with the midah of chasan. And now we're going to rejoice with the midah of kala. That's what the Ramban says. Asher bara, Hashem created midahs, emotions. An emotion called sasan, simcha. An emotion that's called in the eyes of Chazal, chasan, an emotion called kala. It's a whole new world when you appreciate this idea, and when you read psukim, and when you study other mamari chazal, it changes everything. Okay, so we're brainwashed to think. That's like a drasha. It's a drasha.
This is it. And what, ahava is a joy? Achva is a joy?
Yeah, it is.
Shalom is a joy?
Yeah. There is something called, yeah, it's a feeling. It's an expression. This is what Ramban says. Hashem didn't just create. Hashem created emotions. It's things that are not tangible. Person has emotion. What does that mean? There's no way in the world science can define in scientific terms what is the emotion. It is something that is not tangible. How do you explain this? There are certain parts of the Bria that cannot be explained. Do we really have an understanding of gravity? Do we really understand? Can you really define what gravity is? Maybe they can. I don't know. Can they do it? There's a certain pull, magnetic pull. Can it really be defined, the movement? What it's, maybe you can look at all the neutrons, the atoms, but can you define what's really happening? Can you define emotion? This is the Ramban, and it explains everything. So likewise over here, that's what the puzzle over here says, cites two different types of emotion. The emotion that is called, where I lost the place over here, in the Mamar Chazal, Shenemar, it's the second line. The second line on page 543, Parayach Tifrach V'Sogel Afgilas. It will blossom once again, and rejoice with the Midah of Gimel Lamed. Afgilas. Also rejoice with the Midah, with the emotion called Gimel Yud Lamed Sof, another emotion. V'ranein, a third emotion called Rina. Who should rejoice? The Kavoid, Halavana, Nitanla, the fruits of the Levana will be once again restored to these trees. Next. Amar Be'acha, Bar Yitzhak Meshash, Abona, Shema, Asbeza, Medesh, Tsar, Kol Mine, Ilanois, L'Seichai. He formed all types of trees within it. Meshash, Hayu, Shahayu, Elu, Shabachutz, Ois, and Peirois. When in Eretz Yisrael, their like would produce peirois, hayu eile shebefnim oisin peirois. This is a Yerushalmi that is saying the same thing, but is elaborating a bit more. And he's telling us that Yisrael, he etched into the walls of the Beis Hamikdash every variety, every type of tree in the world. And when its likeness, when the season came for its real physical likeness to produce fruit, then the image of that min that was etched into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash likewise produced fruit. You have to be right. When did these trees dry up? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Chinana Bar Yitzchak, that's his name. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, who was the son of Chinana Bar Yitzchak, B'shah Shehemid Menashe Tselem Beheichel Yavshu. Not like what we said before. We said before when Goyin entered. This Yerushalmi says that when Menashe, the Jew, he brought in Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash, they dried up. Dechsev Uferach Levanon Umlal. The Ferach Levanon, it was cut down. There's a Chazal that says that there's a root. Going back to the scientific approach, is that there are roots in the ground. There are. I don't know how to say this in English. I don't know if it's Hebrew, but that in the earth of this world, there are like veins. Just like we appreciate going to a chiropractor. Okay, chiropractors are really into this stuff. Some people, though, they swear by them. I have no idea. I've never gone to one of them, Baruch Hashem. Not yet, and hopefully never. And somehow they understand that in the body there are certain muscles that travel from one end of the body to the other. And you can read up on this online. Is that on the toes? There's a very specific part of the toe connects all the way up to your shoulder, all the way up to your brain. And if you take a needle, and you take a needle on your toe, and you prick it the right way, it's going to set into motion a sensation that will work its way all the way up to a certain part of your brain, of your shoulder, your back, who knows what. And somehow they have a Masaira from China, who knows what they have. They have this Masaira. They're able to know what every single part of your body, the different muscles, and veins and channels of touching it over here, how it affects other parts all the way on the other edge, the extreme edge of your body. The same way that principle, they claim that principle to be true in the human body, and there are people that swear by this. They'll tell you it's MS. They know they've been held by this. Okay, if it works, it works. Likewise, in the earth, it's the same exact thing. Is that if you, in Florida, if you see they have orange trees, oranges that are growing with incredible beauty and they're delicious. Guess what? If you really understand science, you can go into the ground, into the earth, and you can find the muscle of that orange tree, that orange orchard, and you can find its vein, its muscle, and you can trace it all the way to the Beis HaMikdash, to a very specific spot in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, and tap into it, and you can produce that very same orange tree in the Beis HaMikdash, equal to what you have in California and Florida. You just have to know how to trace the muscle through the entire world. That's a chachma. That's a chachma that's lost from man. Shlomo HaMelech had that chachma. And Shlomo HaMelech was able to produce all these megadim. So notice, in this chazal, in the Yerushalmi, I want to make it in Yerushalmi, it does not say gold. It's a very fascinating difference in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. We are brought up as children that Shlomo HaMelech, he planted in the Beis HaMikdash, megadim shall call min of gold. Go back, this is very kedai to get an appreciation between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And a very different approach in Hashkafa. A very different approach in learning, and a very different approach in Hashkafa. And a lot of that you can see in the way the Bavli and the Yerushalmi describe the same exact thing. This is a very good case study to look at this example. It says here, one more time, before we learn Amar B'Yitzchak, when it's in the beginning of the top line of the page, it says, the beginning of the Chazal on the previous page, Bishosh Abana Shlama Beis HaMikdash Nata Bakomini Megodim Shel Zohav, gold. Where does that come from? That comes from Gemara, a Bavli, Mesechta Yoima. What does Yerushalmi say? Different types of trees. Did it say the word gold anywhere? Did the Bavli, the Yerushalmi say the word gold? No, the word gold does not appear in the Yerushalmi. Does not appear. He planted trees. And when in America, the beautiful oranges of Arizona began to blossom, then the equivalent in the Beis HaMikdash began to blossom. That's what it says. It doesn't say gold. It says real trees that had their counterpart in other parts of the world. And when did it dry up? When Menashe brought its settlement to the Heichal. So there are two major differences. Number one also, it says he was tsar. Tsar means he etched an image. So three major differences. According to the Bavli, it says that he planted. According to the Yerushalmi, he etched into the wall images. According to the Bavli, it says they were gold. According to the Yerushalmi, it doesn't say they were gold. According to the Bavli, when did they dry up? When the Nochrim, when the Shenichnasu Nochrim Lehechel. And according to the Yerushalmi, when Menashe brought the Tselem into the Heichal. So, what is it? So, some will tell you, they're discussing two entirely separate things. The Bavli is discussing gold trees, and Yerushalmi is discussing real trees, and that's why everything is completely different. And others will tell you, no. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, they're discussing the same thing. You have to be creative in understanding the way Chazal describe something. The Bavli, its language is, when something is good, you call it gold. Is it really gold? No, it's not really gold. You're not going to go today, you're not going to go to Blue Ribbon, you're not going to go to Mountain Fruit and go buy some fruit today and say, I brought home gold fruit. You're going to say, it's good stuff.
Especially golden age.
What?
Golden apple. Golden delicious.
Yeah. Gold, okay, you understand? You say it's a metaphor. It's a term. Okay, that's what it means, gold. And when it says that the Goyim came into the Heichal, in the Bavli's understanding, when a Jew acts like a Goy, he's a Goy. When it says the Nachum came in, you know what it means? Who's the Nachri? Menashe. Menashe, the Melech of Yisrael, is a Nachri. They don't mince words. They're not ashamed to say that our king, who is a Meyuchas, he's an Enikul of David HaMelech. He's a Nachri. He's a Goy. They're not embarrassed to say that. And when it says that, it says the word, he was Nota. It says in the Bible, he was Nota. The Bavli, they're creative. Nota doesn't mean they took a tree and they planted. Nota means chaye oilam nota bisochein. What does that mean? Saying davening every day. The chaye oilam nota, an everlasting life Hashem planted within us. Hashem is a farmer. Hashem has a shovel and soil, and he digs and he prunes. It's an expression. Nota, He etched into our neshama, the Torah. So here's a very good example where you have the contrast between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. They're describing something very similar, but there are major differences in what they're saying. And we're left in a state of bewilderment. What's going on? If you want, I have no doubt in my mind, you'll find commentators that will tell you they're discussing two separate things. The Yerushalmi is describing fruit trees, and the Bavli is describing, like you see in all the pictures and the models of the Beis HaMikdash and the museums, they'll show you the golden apples growing on the Yochanu Bayas. They'll show you the golden apples. And the Kehanim, they would climb up and pull them off and take them. And the Yerushalmi, okay, fine, they're discussing. Or who says they're describing different things? They're describing the same thing. And the language that Chazal used to describe is a lesson, is a teaching in and of itself. The choice of words is trying to awaken us to have a deeper understanding of what here is really going on. And that only comes out through language, through the choice of words, to bring out this idea. Okay, let's go further. We now concluded the Memorah Chazal, and now we're going to go to our new commentator. We already, it's going to be the second time. He's Chvoid, his father, certainly, the Grah, the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Avraham ben Biur, Rabbi Avraham Beor, not Biur. Beor means to burn. I used to say, you know, the Bir Halacha in Mishnah Berura is the Mishnah Berura, and the Bir Halacha, that's wrong. The Bir Halacha means the burning. It's Beor. Atzere. The Olam, the Velt, says Bir Halacha, which appears to be incorrect. It's the Beor Halacha. So here it's the Beor, Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra. I wouldn't get too worked up about that because there's a way to Yeshivish Sprach. And there is the correct way. Is it Masechta Yoima or Masechta Yuma? Well, we all say Yuma, but it's really Yoma. Okay, I only learn now with the Goyim has Nekudos. I use the we have now the Nekudos. I love it. Problem is, it really drives me crazy sometimes because half the words that I read there in the Gemara are totally different than the way we're used to pronouncing them. They're very precise in the way they add the dots, and this is the Charedi Gemara. We're not talking over here, some modern Gemara that came out of a university in Phoenix. This is the Oiz V'Hodu Gemara. This is as real. This is the gold standard of today, and the people who have mamash who would dominate, b'li yoytz min haklal. Every yeshiva in the world with their products have produced a Gemara that's becoming very popular with dats, the kudos. I call it as the hechsher of the badats. You don't get it? The badats. The Gemara that has dats, it has the hechsher of the badats. The best in the kashrus. So they, it's amazing. Their Gemara, everything today has this nikud. No one ever thought. No one, what? We love this verse. Well, they have in the Hagdama to every single vow, they have a very, very significant Hagdama showing you that this is nothing new. One day I want to give shirm on that, and the Hagdama to the Oiz V'Hadar Menukud Gemara, it is an awesome, awesome piece of work. That Hagdama tracing the history of the printing of the Talmud Bavli, and showing you that the Bavli with Nikud is nothing new. It's been around for centuries. Okay, it's nothing new, but also Tuvia Rottenberg from Tuvius, he also produced Nikud. He stopped in the middle of the project, probably because of funding. It's also very nice work. In any event, here we're going to learn the Beyer Rabbi Avraham ben Hagra, Pasuk Dalid on page 540. Goyer Bayam Vayabasheyu. Hashem shouts at the Yam and he causes it to dry up. Mechol an harva secharib umlal bashan v'chaimel uferach levanon umlal. Ba Pasuk Mevoher Pasuk Rishoy Masha Amar V'onon Avak Raglav. According to him, this Pasuk, like the Malbim, is going back to explain the dust, the clouds. Exactly what the Malbim said. Just like Hashem commanded the Yam to produce clouds, to bring rain upon the earth, and it did the opposite. Instead of it bringing rain, Goyer Bayam Bayabshayu, ki avak misapech leruach acholich sham ma'ala avak. The wind, the dust, mishabich leruach, the dust turned into wind, which went there. Ki avak mishabich leruach haholech sham ma'ala avak. V'chein HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'daitoi v'ritzonei mahabich b'tachbuloisav. He can turn things upside down. Oiseh hazizim. Hashem creates chazizim. Chazizim means, I don't know what that means. Chazizim. Lachin goyer bayam vayabasheyu. Okay, so the idea is basically like similar to what it says, that it did not produce water, but instead it produced dust. And when there's dust, then the bashan and the caramel and the levanon dry up. V'chol ha'naharos ha'chadiv, hiskir etzel hayam yabasha, v'naharos charava. He's asking a question, why do we choose their two words, which mean almost exactly the same thing, yibush and choyrev? Why do we associate yabasha with the yam and charava with the river? So he answers on page, b'shimshon ne'mar, we go to page 542, b'shimshon ne'mar, Shimshon. Who is Shimshon? Samson.
Yeah.
And today, who is Shimshon today, in 2020? Samsung. The Shimshon, Nemar.
We're hitting them off today.
Yisarim lachim asher loy charavu. Yisarim lachim asher loy charavu. What does that mean? Lachim heim asher nislach lachu. Lachim means they're moist. Asher lachim heim. Lachim. Hey, Masher nislach lechu b'mayim, Asher loy choyravu, perush milachus atzmam shahayu b'pishtan. This refers to the one of the riddles he gave them. That the word lachim means moisture. Okay, let's just leave it with that. V'heim chadoshim tekef achar asiyasam heim chazakim oid. Okay, I don't know what that means. V'nemar kol hanacholim holchim al hayam. V'sham heim shavim l'leches v'anharos v'hu mayonim v'anacholim b'inhar mi'alechum b'mokoymus mayonois yardim lohem. I don't know what that means either over here. V'hayam ein loy mayonois, a yam doesn't have a mayon, l'chein amar v'ayah b'sheyu min ha'mayim asher layam mechasim v'chol ha'aros yachrivu afilu min ha'mayonois yachrivu gam min ha'yam lo yavo l'chemayim. Now basically the gist of what he's saying is, I apologize, I can't translate the words inside, but basically, what he seems to be saying is the word choyrev has a connotation of a mayon. The word choyrev, drawing, is not a word that can be learned in isolation. It's a word that connects itself to a fountain. When there's a fountain and the fountain stops producing water, That is called hecherif. The source of its water has dried up. When it comes to the word yoivesh, yoivesh is a word which can be viewed in isolation. There is no source. Yoivesh means you have a body of water. Somehow, some way, the water was put there. How did it get there? Who knows? It got there. And now we have a container of water. And when that water dries up, it's called yoivesh. It's dry. It just dries up. There's no water. Choyrev means a source of water has been shut down. There's a healthy source of water, and that source that reproduces, that brings forth, it has now the moisture has now been shut down. So when it comes to a river whose water is derived from a healthy source, a fountain, or mountain or spring, whatever it is, then the word choyrev is the correct word. But when it comes to the yam, which has no real source of water, it's not a real source. It's true, the rivers flow, bring water into the yam, but that's not necessarily a natural occurrence. That's just that it got there by for whatever reason. And when that deposit dries up, it's called yoivesh. Okay, it's a very nice interpretation, very typical of a gra. It's not the gra, it's the gra's son. To explain, one more line will stop. Umasha Amar. What it said before in the previous past pasuk, perish shehu lahachri perish shalbashim bekarmel v'sufa hu ruach mitzuyah tsaro hu ruach shanim together before u'shneim kashim leperus they both hard leperus mitzuyah kashim leperach levanan the ruach mitzuyah is difficult to the perach levanan shenayshem me'aleihem she'ena mitzuyah kashim lemaleya is kashim lemaleya v'hu karmel karmalei karmel is Nutrikin, it is a seed that is molei v'chein bashan who mashal apeirus hadshoyim shirananim kmo yizanek min habashan. So basically, there are two different types of winds. There is the suvin esara, and those two types of winds are corresponding to the bashan, the caramel, and the perach levanon. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, we're going to continue with, I believe, the next pasuk.
Side of the other silver.